Today is December the 16th, 2008, and I am interviewing Mr. Harvey Jones. Good morning.
Morning.
Could you start off by telling me who you worked for in the grain industry?
Well, I only worked for one company. That was Manitoba Pool Elevators. Originally, I was what they called a field man. I had been working with the Manitoba government at Hamiota. A representative, the vice president of Manitoba Pool came to see me, and he said, "We're looking for a field man," and it was suggested that I come and see you. Well, that was a big surprise, certainly not expected. And we talked for a while, and he said, "Well, would you be interested?" And I said, "Yes, I think I'd better get a little more information. He said, "Well, I would suggest that you go in and see our president, who was Mr. Parker, and then make your decision." So I did that. The whole atmosphere impressed me, and I wasn't planning to work for the government for too long, and I thought, well, this should be all right. So he said, "Don't make up your mind right away. You go home, think it over, talk to your wife, and let us know when you reach a decision." So I did that. We decided that I would go for it, and I let their local representative know, and he said, "Well, you go in, see Bill Parker, our president, and decide some of the details." I went in, and I didn't want to start something that was until he said, "Well, there's no rush. You go home and let me know."
What year would this have been?
What year would it be? I have a difficulty there. I gotta go through what led up to this. I was in the Air Force through the war. And I had 3 years.
Now that was World War?
Air Force.
In which World War was that?
The one that we,
World
the
War,
big, the big war.
World War II.
It was 42 that I went in.
Okay.
Into the service. And it was 3 years mm-hmm. before I got out. And I knew I didn't want to stay with the Air Force. And
after the World War?
Yes, yes. That's right. The war was over. I knew I better make plans for a job, and I went and saw the I'm going back instead of forward.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's okay.
I think I better pursue this. War had ended, and I knew I'd have to look for a job.
Right.
And I went and saw the director of the Extension Service, Manitoba government.
Mm-hmm.
And he never hesitated. He said, we give a preference to veterans coming out of the war. And he says, we'll have a job for you. And he says, you go and we'll make a direct offer. So I did that, and they were prepared to take me into the Extension Service, and they said they had a station open, which was Hamiota, and I could start right away if I wanted. Well, I took a month to think this over and went back, saw Mr. Parker, and I said, it's okay, I'll go with you. And
now, I'm curious. When you said that you worked for the Extension Department of the government
yes.
in Hamiota, what kind of work did you do?
Well, I worked with farmers, and it was a case of providing information to farmers, and also and we had some definite programs that were already established, and one of the biggest was the 4-H clubs with the young people. And this Hamiota hadn't had an ag rep, and so the whole thing was open for me to, they don't tell you what to do, to tell you to go out there and get acquainted and decide what you should do. Well, I liked Hamiota very much. It appealed to me, and it was ready for a lot of activity. The war shut everything down. They hadn't had an ag rep, and so it was an open field for me.
And you did that for 3 years, you said? You said you did that for 3 years, and then you were approached by Manitoba Pool?
Yes.
And that's when you met Mr. Parker, and then you decided to take the job at Manitoba Pool?
That's right.
Okay, and you said that they were hiring you as a field man. What would a field man do?
With the pool.
Yes.
Yes. Well, for one thing, we had clubs. We called them crop and plume women's clubs. So what we did with them is had them testing new varieties. They would grow them, and we would be inspecting the crops right through the season. And if anything that showed up well, then we made plans to introduce them, and we would put the seed out through the what we called crop improvement clubs. Mm-hmm. We had quite a number of those. I don't remember now, but there were close to 200 of them. And it did very well. Going back a long way, it's for to try and remember everything. Now, this initially, as I said, I was at Habiota. One of the things that happened while I was there is I had a small medical problem, and I had to go to a hospital and have a small operation. It was hospital I went to was Deer Lodge, and I met somebody in Deer Lodge, a nurse, and her name was Alba Adams, and I liked her very much, and I pursued the my acquaintance with Alba, eventually asked her to marry me, and she said yes. I could, if we were upstairs, I'd show you the picture of her. Well, one of the pictures, of course, is of Alba.
What year did you get married in?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is going back. I wasn't too long before I proposed to her. And she said yes, and we were married on the 28th day of December. Now, the year of marriage, I'm not sure of that.
It was after the war? Was it after the war?
Oh, yeah, it was after the war.
So it would be late 1940s, probably.
Yes. Yes, I would say it was. Let's see.
And she moved out to Hamiota with you?
Yes. Yeah, well, we got married, and I was stationed at Hamiota, and we got a house out on a farm close to town to start with, because the people that lived in the house spent the winters in Victoria, B.C. So we got married on the 28th day of December, and the house was available, and that's where we moved. I don't know what she thought when she took her out to Hamiota to start her married life. I carried her across the threshold, and the first thing she noticed that the stove was a wood, coal and wood stove. She'd been used to electricity. And the heat was a coal-fired, hand-fired furnace in the basement. But Alma came from the farm of Newdale, and she was used to that kind of life and adjusted to it very quickly. Well, while at Hamiota, a house came up for sale. The owner came along to see me. He hadn't seen anybody else. He said that he was going to sell the house, and he made me a good offer on it, I thought. And we decided we would buy the house. Things at Hamiota went very well. I liked the people, I liked the job, everything was fine. And while we were there, Alba had a baby, and a baby girl, and we named her Margaret Ann. She was Margaret Ann Jones. And we had 4 years in Hamiota. It just seemed to mushroom. I got organized more clubs and more programs. It all went so well. You have to remember that we'd been at war and things had been kind of at a standstill. So it wasn't because I was good. I think it was because of the conditions of the time. And our daughter Margaret was born, and we're getting to a part where a little bit difficult for us. We're at Amiota. Oh, yes. Mind you, this was a government job. I was the ag rep at Amiota, working for Manitoba government.
Okay.
Well, things went well. Poole got interested, and the vice president, Mr. McConnell, of the Poole, came to Amiota and spoke to me and made an offer to work for them as a field man. But he says, you should go in and see Bill Parker, our president, and get more more information before you make a decision. Well, I went in, had an interview with him, and I told him right on the spot. I said, okay, I'll go with you, but not until spring, because this is in winter time. Don't like to moving in winter. And he says, that's all right. We'll say spring, 1st of June. So I switched to Manitoba Pool. Alba, wait a minute. Oh, yes. There's a period there that I can't remember. Alba is a nurse, and
when
we must have moved from Amiota to Winnipeg, because she went nursing with at Deer Lodge, and
well, when you were hired by Manitoba Pool.
Yes,
Did they hire you to work in Winnipeg? Was your job
no.
in... No. No, okay.
No.
Well, so when you started in June, and you were living in Amiota, did you have to move away from Amiota to take the Manitoba Pool job?
I can't remember just what happened. Where did I end up? I was still in Amiota.
You were in Amiota, and Manitoba Pool offered you a job.
Yes.
And you said yes. And you would start in June. So in June you changed jobs over to Manitoba Pool to work as a... Your job for Manitoba Pool was...
Yeah, oh yes, I know. Now I got it. I told Manitoba Pool I just soon want to wait till spring to take his job, and he said, Mr. Parker said, that's okay. And we have two stations open, Carbon and Sewers. And I told him right away, well, we would take Carbon. And the reason for that was that Alba's, my wife's mother, wasn't well, and the closer we could be to her, the better. And Carmen, and she was in Winnipeg. Carmen was close to Winnipeg, and we said we'll take Carmen. And that's where we moved to, and we certainly never regretted it. We liked Carmen very well. Everything seemed to go well for us. We had another daughter born, Donna. Donna was her name. And that carried on for some time. The Carmen job involved an awful lot of traveling and night meetings. We lived in Carmen, and I always remember I went in the post office about 7 o'clock, and I was just on my way out to go to a meeting way off somewhere. I just had time to make it, and that was the life that it was. It was night meetings.
And that was with farmers that you would meet? Your night meetings, you would be meeting with the farmers?
Yes.
And what would you be talking to them about?
Well, we said crop improvement, we called it, mm-hmm. is new varieties of crops. And it's information on growing new crops.
But was that with your government job or with your Manitoba pool job?
Manitoba pool.
With your Manitoba pool job.
Yeah, I'd left the government.
Right.
In Abiota.
So when you were in Carmen, was there a Manitoba pool grain elevator in Carmen? Was there an elevator there?
Carmen? No.
No?
That was my choice of a place to live.
Right.
It was central, pretty central for the district.
Okay.
I went as far west as Cartwright.
Mm-hmm.
And we liked Carmen. Now, where are we?
Well, you've now moved to Carmen, and you're working for Manitoba Pool.
Yes.
And you're meeting with farmers to talk about crops.
Yeah.
How long did you do that?
Well, gosh, that's a good question. I should know that right off. It was a lot of years. I can't be definite on to how many years it was, a new development occurred in Manitoba Pool. They decided they would go into farm supplies. They had not had been doing that at all, but the other grain companies were doing it. And we were starting to feel the results. We're losing some of the grain business. Well, they needed somebody to organize it, head it up, and they called on me. And that involved moving into Winnipeg eventually. They said it didn't have to be right away. And this all happened in the wintertime. And so, okay, as I said, that's fine. I'll take the job. And I drove from Carmen to Winnipeg every day into the office in Winnipeg. Did that all winter. No problems. It went all right. I had a brand new car because I hadn't had to need a car before. And it all went well. Then when spring came, we had a chance to buy a house in Winnipeg, and we moved.
Can you tell me a bit about when you were heading up the Manitoba Pools farm supply and equipment division? What was that like? What did you have to do?
Well, what we had to do is, first thing is to be know farm supplies, know the chemicals and fertilizers and everything, and we had the job of training the elevator agents to know the products that that were available for crop production. So it was a big job of education with all these elevator agents. Well, that all went well. Our membership were very supportive, and the farm supply business just mushroomed in no time. And the biggest item, of course, is fertilizer, and we had a part ownership in a fertilizer factory in Calgary, and another one out of Calgary. It was, I can't remember, it doesn't matter. And the farm supply business grew very fast.
So you would have to train the elevator managers at the Manitoba Pools across Manitoba? Did you have a certain area, or did you have to cover with the farm supply equipment? Did you have to cover a lot of the elevators?
Oh yes, most of our elevators were involved in it. Close to 200 of them. Yeah. Well, I don't know what more I could say. It grew like what grows fast?
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms. That's right. I'm not sure. In very short order. After 1 year, I hit $100 million in sales. of farm supplies. That was what I was hoping I could do. And it turned out. Now I wonder where we're at.
Well, you now are heading up the farm supplies.
Yeah.
And is that the job that you kept with Manitoba Pool the rest of your career?
Hey, pardon?
Is that the job that you kept for the rest of your career with Manitoba Pool? Being in charge of the farm supplies?
I think I did. The job grew. And I was promoted from manager of farm supplies to manager of, what did we call that? I forget what we called the department, but it took in more than farm supplies. It also included some productions. Kind of hazy, though. Besides farm supplies, I had
you said something about distribution.
Yes. I forget. We had some specialized departments that are
we can come back to that after. You'll think of it while we're talking. So I'll ask you another question.
Yeah.
You worked for Manitoba Pool.
Yes.
What was your relationship to your competitors, the other grain co-ops or companies? Did you have anything to do with your competitors?
With some of the other co-ops? Is mm-hmm. that what you're saying?
Yes. Or the private grain companies or...
We were supportive of each other, all right. Mostly, anyway.
Right.
There was a bit of friction, you know, at the front. Not so much in my capacity. In his head office, but in the country there was. The co-op were selling the same thing that we were. In fact, it was the same brand, same company supplying them, and...
How did the farmer decide who to go with then? How did the farmer decide whether to go with Manitoba Co-op or another co-op or a private company?
Well, that's a good question. We, business in the farm supplies, mushroomed. It grew fast. And there must have been a reason for that that is not quite clear to me. For one thing, we had a lot of elevator agents, and we trained them, made sure they knew what they were selling and everything, and they gained the confidence of the farmers, and the business grew very quickly. Did I mention it? We were up to 100 million sales.
Yes, and, wonderful.
In a very short time, it only took a couple of years.
So you look over your career, which was a number of years. We're not quite sure how long you were at Manitoba Pool, your career, whether it was...
How long?
Yeah, how long?
Well, I was with them for the rest of my career. And I was so close to having 30 years with them, and I often wondered afterwards, what the heck, why was I in such a rush? But I, for some reason, I decided I had enough. I had two more years, and I would have been retired anyway, because the pool didn't keep staff over retirement age, which was, I think it was 62, or, no, 65.
65.
Yeah. So when I reached age 62, I told them I was going to retire. And there was no problem with that. I'm glad I did. I missed the family life, you know. It was so busy and so much country travel, night meetings, thank God. I remember one of the guys in Carmen saw me getting ready to leave town about 6 o'clock in the evening. And he says, you're like the owls, you work at night. And that's the kind of a life it was. So I retired early. I was 62 when I retired. And retirement age was normally 65. And I'm glad I did. And had more time with my dear wife, Alba, who had been nursing at Deer Lodge, but she had a baby, Margaret. We named Margaret Ann. There's a picture of her upstairs there. And
so you were able to spend time together when you retired.
You
were able to spend time together when you retired.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you said your career was almost 30 years long. What was the biggest change that you saw in your job in those years? What would, if you had to pick one thing that was the biggest change?
The farms, of course, are getting bigger all the time. And after I got out of the job, it just seemed to start and mushroom. Big machines, big acreages, quite a big change taking place. I think likely it was just as well that I was out of it, had some time to enjoy life. We had a second daughter, Donna. And she is a lovely little girl. Pictures are on my desk upstairs. She did so well at school, but she had a heart defect, and the doctors here in Winnipeg said they wouldn't attempt anything to correct it. They suggested we should go to Rochester and see what they can do. So we did that. We went to Rochester, and they were worried, but they said they pointed out what was ahead for Donna if we didn't do anything, that she could live for another 10 years. She was 10 years old, but they would be very poor years, and she would have a lot of suffering. They said if they went ahead with the surgery, there was a 50% chance that she could survive the surgery and have some some good years for at least 10 years or more. Well, we went ahead with the surgery, but she died in surgery.
Oh, that's very, very sad. But you did the best you could.
Her picture
upstairs.
When we go upstairs.
That would be really nice. I'd like to see it.
She was a lovely child. She was so bright and busy and active, full of fun, a real tease. I always remember Al, my wife, had a sister named Winona. Winona was a teacher, and she hadn't married. And out of the blue, one day, Donna said to Nona, she called her Nona. She said, "Noni, are you ever going to get married?"
Oh,
yes. just burst out laughing. That was Donna. She was full of fun. And she did like to tease.
Well, when we go upstairs, I'd like to look at the picture when we go upstairs.
Very fine.
When we go upstairs to your room, I'd like to look at that picture.
Yes.
Because the only one that I saw, of course, was the grain elevator in, what town was that that you said the picture of the grain elevator in your bedroom was?
Yes, Barnsley.
Barnsley.
Yeah.
So we can look at the others.
6 miles north of Carbon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look at that.
Yeah. So, does that about do it?
I think that you've been a very, very good person to interview, and I really appreciate you sharing all those things in your life, too.
Thanks very much.
And I'll turn the machine off now. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.